Well, the province's flu shot program has kicked off. Chief Medical Health Officer Dr. Saqib Shahab says the vaccine helps to prevent trips to the hospital.
Getting vaccinated is a key step that we can all take to keep ourselves and those we care for safe.
He also said the first 3 weeks after clinics open is the best time to get the jab. So easiest way is book an appointment through your pharmacist. Okay, I want to have a little fun here with my new friend, Tara Lee Bender, I made a few weeks back, who joined me on my show. She and her husband, Evan, farm near Davidson. And while Evan puts the finishing touches on harvest, Tara Lee calling it quits on her great pumpkin patch challenge. She really only challenges herself. She's not trying to break any world records. But when I had her on a few weeks ago, she promised to weigh in when she gets to the final tally of her pumpkins. So welcome back, Tara Lee. Last time I had you on a few weeks ago, your pumpkins were closing in on almost 300 pounds or more, right?
We might have been over the 300 mark. I'm not sure.
Oh, 341. 341, I think it was.
Yeah.
So you're done growing pumpkins now or what?
We got the first major frost, so it was kind of a sad morning for Swelda because she's officially done.
You have a name for she, right?
Yeah, Swelda.
Swelda because, I guess, just swelling in size, or is there a meaning behind that?
Just because she was swelling in size.
Okay. You sound almost sad. Are you okay because the frost is it now?
It was kind of a sad day, but we ended up having hail. I think it was like 3 or 4 weeks ago, and that kind of stunted her growth. I think that was more sad for us.
So where does Swelda sit right now?
In the garden.
The official weight by the time you were done of this pumpkin was?
434 pounds.
Wow. Is that the biggest one you've grown yet?
It is.
Because I thought you had another one. Bertha was growing too, wasn't it?
Yeah, Bertha. She kind of started off slow and we didn't have a lot of faith in her. But then closer to the end, she started putting on the pounds and she's ending up at 281 pounds.
You're just throwing them to the wildlife, I heard. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the plan. I'm not sure if we'll maybe like bring them in. An idea is maybe taking them to the school and letting kids take pictures with them.
Yeah.
Kind of unsure what we're going to do yet.
The grand total, your biggest pumpkin was 434
pounds.
Oh, congratulations. You must feel like next year you could probably hit 500?
I'm actually hoping. I was ready to pack it in with the pumpkins and then use that space in the garden for flowers, but I think I've got to try again next year for bigger. So,
how many pumpkins do you have to plant before you get a giant one, or at least one that you think I can turn into a huge one?
We had 2 plants this year. And then I hand pollinate them, though. So you go out like first thing in the morning and pollinate them. And then you only want to keep 1 pumpkin on your plant.
Talk to me a little more about what do you do to pollinate?
There's a male flower and a female flower. And normally you could leave it to the bees to do it, but we didn't have too many bees this year. So you just go and you take the male flower and there's like some lobes on the female flower. So you just use the pollen and put it on the lobes and then hope it takes.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you really know your pumpkins.
Well, I don't know a lot, but did pretty good.
There's no steroid involved here. This is through nature.
It is. So yeah. I think we, if I remember correctly, we only fertilized once this year.
All right. Well, Tara Lee, I appreciate you updating us, and it's pretty cool. You're Saskatchewan's finest pumpkin grower, and thanks for sharing how you did it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, just to give you a little follow-up, I just discovered this morning a California engineer won a pumpkin contest by growing a 2,346-pound pumpkin. He's the winner. He's not even a farmer. He's an electrical engineer, but he grows pumpkins as a hobby, so he takes it pretty seriously. But yeah, can you imagine a pumpkin 2,346 pounds? That was in California. Well, the Jays are back in action tonight, and one thing's for sure, a lot of our local sports bars and pubs have noticed a little influx of customers walking through the door. when the Jays are playing. And Kevin Martell from the 980 CJME Newsroom, a passionate Mariners fan, joins me now. And I know when it comes to playoffs, you do this for the Jets, and you and I are very similar. You don't necessarily like to watch these kind of tense moments in public. You like to be in front of your own screen at home, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Playoffs is a different beast where I never like to rub it in.
Right.
You know, maybe the regular season.
And you don't
season,
want the
but...
public to see how furious you get and perhaps some of the expressions you share
there are
out loud.
A range of emotions that go into any game.
All right, Kevin, I want you to put your coach's cap on here. God knows I don't ask you for much. But tell me, if you were the coach, what's the Mariners' weakness? If you were the coach of the Blue Jays, exploit the Mariners' weakness. You must know you're a fan of them.
The Mariners strike out a lot. They're one of the teams in the league that strikes out the most. So how do you expose that for Toronto? And this sounds very baseball-y, but it's about locating your pitches. You have to execute. And the first couple games, from at least the Blue Jays pitchers, they haven't quite gotten there yet. So if you just stick to the game plan and throw what you're supposed to do and you zone in, lock in on those pitches, the Mariners won't be able to score any runs. You should be able to, because Toronto's lineup is very good. Toronto, on the other hand, does not strike out very often. They put the ball in play, and when you put the ball in play, good things happen. So
okay,
there
coach.
You have it.
All right, that sounds like good advice. I hope they're listening to Kevin Martell. But sincerely, wasn't it back in May, Seattle was pretty hot in the regular season, but the Jays went to Seattle and they beat him 3 in a row, didn't they?
Yeah, the Jays had a number.
So it's possible. That's what we have to do.
Yeah, yeah, and it can be done. And so you're hearing in the news this morning a lot of hope from fans, and that is what they're hoping for this time, a repeat of what happened in the regular season, a sweep in Seattle. Of course, this is the postseason, and things are, you know, very different,
okay.
But we know that a lot of fans from BC will go down to Seattle, so there could be a lot more Jays fans in the crowd tonight than you think.
Now, what's your heart telling you? Are the Jays going to win tonight?
I think they are. I feel nervous.
Yeah.
You know,
good,
I feel like,
good.
Like I said yesterday, if the Jays win tonight, they're only down 2-1. Two games nothing lead is not so far that you can't come back.
It's
now, it hasn't happened very often that a team will lose the first two at home and
three
come back
times
and win.
It's happened before,
yeah.
I guess.
So
huh?
it can happen.
All right, coach. I feel a little better now that even you are showing signs of weakness tonight than that your Mariners might lose. So hope the Jays go for it. All right. And boy, winning sure erases all, you know, the haters on the green zone of Jeremy O'Day from years gone by. Now 12-4. I don't think Jamie had a single text yesterday of negativity about Mr. O'Day and Coach Mace being re-signed for a couple of years.
Yeah, the ups and downs, right?
Yeah.
When you're down, get him out of there. And when things are going well, yeah, keep him. So that's exactly what's happening, both signing extensions through the 2028 season. Remember, this is only, I mean, head coach Corey Mace has not been there for that long. And look what he's done with the team so far, including this year. Top in the CFL West, we know that for sure. So we will host that game at Mosaic Stadium on November 8th. We just have to win that, and we go to the Grey Cup.
All right. The morning commute seems to be going pretty smooth. Wasn't so great on SAS Drive and Broad yesterday. Whatever became of that? A lot of people were kind of like, oh, man, I can't get anywhere downtown. It's all blocked up. What was happening?
Yeah, so this was a crash. And again, as you mentioned, it is open this morning. Let's make that clear. But it had been closed yesterday for several hours. And police say that one vehicle hit another at the intersection, then accelerated the wrong way down SAS Drive, eventually losing control, rolling right in front of a parkade across from Casino Regina. You can see that picture at cjme.com. It looks pretty nasty. And there was a person trapped inside. They got out and were taken to hospital. They're expected to be okay. But also new from police, they say charges are pending right now.
Okay.
Now, we don't have any update on that. Charges, at least as far as we know, have not been announced yet, but they are incoming.
Kevin Martell from the 980 CJME Newsroom. We'll be back in just a few. It's 6:58.
I'm so in love with you. Whatever you want to do is all right with me.
Let's just stay together. That's what Rider Nation. Must have been saying yesterday as a couple extended contracts to Coach Mace and Jeremy O'Day were handed out yesterday. And CJME writer, reporter Britton Gray is going to touch on that with me now, along with, look at him here, stirring it up with quarterback Trevor Harris and Coach Mace about whether or not Harris should start on Friday night. Listen first before I bring Britton in here. He's asking the question.
Trevor, over the next couple of weeks, Corey Mace has to decide rest versus rest, if you rest some starters or not. Well, you know how your body's feeling. Could you use a week off, or do you want to play those last two games?
I'll fight him. Make sure you guys tell him I said that.
You know, like we had planned, we squared up, and as you could figure, I'm coming out clean.
There you go. You started a fight, Britton, there between the quarterback and his coach.
I mean, I didn't mean to. I thought it was a pretty fair question to ask here. I mean, Trevor Harris, 39 years old. When I've looked at a few of his games recently, it felt like the arm strength wasn't quite there. But then he still completes some deep passes. That's why I said it's really up to him. How's he feeling? And we know how he wants to play every game. But that's not going to be the case this week.
Okay. Well, we knew Mara was taking the reps. Yesterday, what did you see at practice?
Yeah, about the same. Jake Mayer's taking all the reps with the starters. Trevor Harris was out there. He'll probably be on the roster just as the third quarterback and everything, but it's going to be Jake Mayer and a lot of backups. Del Duncan Busby starting, Joe going to be starting. Sean Bain Jr., this will be the first chance we really get to see him with the first team offense on defense. I don't expect to see Marcus Sales or Roland Milligan out there. Though Tavon Campbell, he was out there running with the ones. Looks like he might make his return here. Now, he's one of those starters I think you do need to play because he has been out for so long and kind of get his game feet under him these next couple of weeks.
See Jamie Ryder, reporter Britton Gray from Ryder practice yesterday. That's what you saw there. And in regards to the extensions of contracts here, let's talk about this. 2 years for Jeremy O'Day and Coach Mace. It seems like a no-brainer to me. What did you think?
Yeah, absolutely. It makes a lot of sense, even though these guys both still had another year under contract. They were under contract through next season already. But the culture's just been changed here in Saskatchewan. And a big part of that has been Jeremy O'Day's decision to hire Corey Mace and the fact that the two work really well together. They looks like they have the same, they want the same kind of players here. They want to run the same sort of system and everything. And you have to really work in tandem, and it feels like that's what's working. And I mean, success also makes it really easy, right? The Riders make it to the West Final last year. They're going to host the West Final this year. Like you say, it just makes a lot of sense already as this team wants to build sustained success. And part of that is keeping guys around for a long time, keeping things the same. That's going to be the case here in Saskatchewan.
Well, yesterday in the green zone, Locker out with an upper body injury. That's all I know about that. You helped fill in nicely along with Jamie Nye yesterday. And the two of you were talking about, hey, you know what? When you look at it here, the next big deal for these guys is to sign a quarterback for next year, right? Because at present, there is no contract for one in 26, is there?
Not for Trevor Harris. He signed one-year extensions when he signed that. It was to, he said, every contract's pretty much a one-year for him. We don't know what's going to happen. And so how this season ends is going to be very interesting in what this team decides to do, right, and what they elect to do with Trevor Harris next year if he does indeed want to come back. And, I mean, the way he's been playing, why wouldn't you? It seems like he's going to be able to stave off Father Time here for a little bit longer. But well, where's the future? Because eventually, Trevor Harris, he's not playing forever. Where's the guy who's going to be here for the next decade or at least 5 years, right? That's the decision they have to decide. That's why this is important for Jake Mayer these next couple of weeks. Go out there, show what you can do. Is he worth the investment? And I think this team still really likes Jack Cohn and the way he's developing. So I expect there to be quite the battle next year for at least the backup quarterback spot, if not the starting spot, with him heavily involved.
Well, Mr. Britton Gray, do you expect Trevor Harris to at least appear for part of the game against the BC Lions? Obviously, he's going to miss this one here, but do you think he should at least get, you know, half a game for a bit of a tune-up before the West Final?
Yeah, exactly that. If I was the coaching, I would give him at half a game just to make sure he's ready. And this offense still has some things to work out as there's been a bunch of new faces coming in and out of it because of injury. So I would give him a half. Though maybe if Matthew Betts gets by and gets him a sack in the first quarter, you take him out then because you need Trevor Harris healthy for this playoff run.
Well, judging how we wanted to fight the coach here to get in this game, maybe that's what it'll come to. And you'll be stirring the pot, I'm sure, next week about that. Hey, Britton, thanks for the update.
Not a problem.
Where are all my Dawson Creek fans hearing this song now? You're there. I know you're out there. And Tamara Cherry, were you ever one a fan of Dawson's Creek?
I watched it, but I was never one of those diehard fans. I was a Paula Cole fan, though.
Were you?
The music.
And apparently so. You're going to have her on the show today.
Yes. She and another 90s icon, Sophie B. Hawkins, As I Lay Me Down to Sleep. You got to know that song.
Yeah, I know that one. There was a better one, though. I can't remember what it was off the top of my
head. That was my favorite, As I Lay Me Down to Sleep. They are starting a Western Canadian road trip this week. Mm-hmm. And the best part of it is, yeah, they're going to be playing like some big centers, but they're not kicking off in Vancouver or Calgary or Edmonton or even Regina or Saskatoon. They are starting this road trip in North Battleford, Saskatchewan.
And
I've heard Paula Cole say in other interviews that when you come to the people, they just appreciate you so much more and you build fans for life and these relationships with fans for life. And I thought that was really beautiful. So I'm excited to talk to her about that. But I'm also excited to talk about the Lilith Fair documentary. I don't know if you've seen it. Have you seen it,
Greg? I haven't seen it yet, no. But
so,
Sarah McLachlan
really,
was promoting it.
Really interesting and very nostalgic for me as a kid of the 90s. To one of the opening shots shows somebody walking around in like one of those crew neck Club Monaco sweaters. If you know, you know. And it was so nostalgic, but it was really interesting to think about how far or how little women in music have come since then. And I'm excited to have that conversation with Paula Cole.
Well, I see you're also tackling the string of stolen vehicles in Regina that has been linked to 9 suspects. This one caught my eye because pretty young ages.
9 suspects. One of them was 9 years old. It is a baffling, completely bonkers, so horrifyingly sad case, I think. 9 11-year-olds being caught up in this, too young to even be charged criminally. I'm going to have the acting police chief on, and for what I hope will be a really thoughtful conversation about what happens after they are caught for allegedly doing this, because you can't charge them. But I hope, beyond hope, that there's some sort of intervention. I don't know if it should be the police or community groups or what, working with the family to make sure that this kid does not stay on that path.
When I was 9 years old, the worst, I think, for me was Radium Gardens.
Oh, my gosh.
And, the crabapple tree next door to the neighbors. And when I was caught, my mom made us plant my neighbor's garden.
Oh.
Helped to plant the neighbor's garden the following year.
My 9-year-old plays Ring and Run. But only at people's homes she knows. And it's always, like, done with a giggle. And, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I don't find it too funny anymore. Oh. Your kid does that, by the way. Just saying.
Only at people they know. Like, they're friends. They go back and forth.
It's all right, cute. Tamara, anything else coming up on the show?
Oh, so much stuff. We're going to be opening with a really interesting conversation about what's happening in the Middle East. Is it the end of the war? Is it peace? Or is it a ceasefire? I'm going to be speaking with somebody who has been working behind the scenes for the last 2 years, working with hostage families and members of the Canadian Jewish community. And she's going to be giving an interview for the first time ever about what it's been like for her and her reaction to the developments of the last couple of days. We've got so many interesting conversations. Just listen to the whole 4 hours, Greg.
Okay. For Evan Bright, Tamara Cherry is back here at 8:30. Blue Jays in a must win. What are they got to do for victory? Well, Blue Jays fans are speaking out now, and some of them will be joining Kevin Martell here in just a moment. CJME News Time now is 7:27.